wonderful, wonderful, gorgeous, beautiful, delightful Sunday morning. Amen? I tell you what. The Bible says this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I am thankful for every day that God allows me to live and see. But I prefer sunshine. Do you? And it's been a beautiful Sunday morning. Well, like Brother Ziegler said, cannot believe here we are Sunday. But here we are. Seems like it has gone very fast. Revival, and thanking God for how He's been helping us. And I want to say it has been a joy. Thoroughly, thoroughly have enjoyed listening to the orchestra and all the young people that have sang. You have done a wonderful, wonderful job. If you have your Bibles this morning, we're going to be looking at the book of 2 Kings chapter 6. 2 Kings chapter 6. We'll start reading with verse 8. Second Kings chapter 6, verse 8. Then the king of Syria warred against Israel and took counsel with his servants, saying, in such a place shall be my camp. And the man of God sent unto the king of Israel, saying, Beware that thou pass not such a place. For thither the Syrians are come down. And the king of Israel sent to the place which the man of God told him and warned him of, and saved himself there not once nor twice. Therefore the heart of the king of Syria was sore troubled for this thing. And he called his servants and said unto them, Will ye not show me which of us is for the king of Israel? And one of his servants said, None, my lord, O king, but Elisha, the prophet that is in Israel, telleth the king of Israel the words that thou speakest in thy bedchamber. And he said, Go and spy where he is, that I may send and fetch him. And it was told him, saying, Behold, he is in Dothan. Therefore sent he thither horses and chariots and a great host. And they came by night and compassed the city about. And when the servant of the man of God was risen early and gone forth, behold, a host compassed the city both with horses and chariots. And his servant said unto him, Alas, my master, how shall we do? And he answered, Fear not, for they that be with us are more than they that be with them. And Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray thee, open his eyes that he may see. And the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire round about Elisha. Conclude our reading with verse 17. Asking once again if you could stand, if you're able, for prayer. Father in heaven, as we come before your throne of grace, we ask you once again that you would be with us this morning as we look at your word. We pray, Father in heaven, you would guide our thoughts, guide our lips, guide our tongue. May all that is said and done be for your honor, your glory, and for the furtherance of your kingdom. May our hearts be challenged. May Father in each and every one of us go forth from here this morning with a passion and desire in our heart to live a life that is holy and pleasing for you. And we will surely give you the praise, for it is in the precious name of our wonderful Lord and Savior. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. You may be seated. This morning we have an account before us, one of my favorite accounts. I don't know about you, but I absolutely love the Old Testament. I like history. When I was in school, Sister Franklin got it this time. I did not care for English. As far as I'm concerned, that thing could have gone out the window and I would have been happy and thrilled. And then when I got to high school and they told me you had to take Spanish, and I said, please, really? Seriously? I don't even like English, let alone I'm going to try Spanish. But I liked history and I liked science. Math, it was okay until we got to some of those other types of math. Never didn't make sense to me why some lines are shorter than other lines. And it's like, But anyways, that's me. And here I am today. But I loved history. And one of the things that I love about the Bible is the Old Testament. The stories that are told there of how God moved and worked in the lives of His children of Israel. How that when they were living for Him and obeying Him, how that He protected them and He kept them. How that when they went and turned against Him and they went and did their own thing, went in their own direction, how that God in His mercy would allow things to happen to them to call them back to Him. And when the children of Israel repent time and time again, how God would bring deliverance to the children of Israel. I love the book of Acts and the New Testament. I love all the books of the Bible. But I love these because it gives an account of some things that's taken place in the lives of the disciple. How that God moved mightily. You know, brothers and sisters, that it wasn't in the 1900s that we had the first revolving door. You know, it was in the book of Acts. It says when the chains fell off of Peter, he went out and the prison doors opened of their own accord. And he walked through. The first door to open up for someone we have recorded in the book of Acts. The first listening device we have in the book of Kings, which we just read this morning. It says what you're speaking in your bedchamber, Elisha's being told. Isn't that wonderful? God can be able to say, you have no secrets. But we have an account before us today how that the king of Syria was deciding that he was going to go to war against Israel. And every time he would plan something, the king of Israel was one step ahead of him. The king of Syria gets upset and he calls all of his people together, his commanders, his generals, and he says, all right, I want to know which one of you is the traitor. Which one of you is betraying us? Which one of you is going over there and telling the king of Israel what has taken place and what is happening? One of the servants speaks up and says, none of us, O king, but the God of Israel is telling them. What you're speaking in your bedchamber is being told to Elisha. And the king says, well, I'm going to solve this. I'm going to send my army. And he says, I tell you what, I want you and you and you, I want you to go and I want you to find out where Elisha's at. I want you to go spy and I want you to come back and I want you to tell me where Elisha is. Isn't it kind of something how it didn't sink into the mind of the king? He had been making all these plans and his servant just told him, what you speak in your bedchambers, the God of Israel is telling Elisha. And then he tells him, he said, well, we're going to spy and find out where he is and we're going to go get him. Not realizing God would have already told Elisha what was about to take place. But sure enough, they go and they spy. They search the land. They find Elisha. And they come back to the king and they say, we found him. We know where he's at. He's over there in Dothan. So the king says, okay, let's get my army, my horses, and my chariots. We're going to go. And they went by night under the cover of darkness. There they come. They ride there at Dothan. They circle the city. That morning, the sun's beginning to rise in the east. Elisha, he stretches in his bed. He wakes up and he yawns. His servant, he rises up. He stretches, he yawns. He puts on his garments. He goes out the door. He walks to the well to get the water. He's pumping the water, putting it in the whatever, the jar, the bucket that they had back in those days. He was turning around and getting ready to head back into the house and was going to give it to his master, Elisha. And he looks over there and he says, and he rubs his eyes and he looks again and he can't believe it. There on the hill is the army of Syria. Horses and chariots. He wonders, am I dreaming? Is this really true? And he looks again. And then he looks over this way. And there. And there. And there. And there. And there. Everywhere round about the city of Dothan was the army of Syria. I believe that the servant probably dropped the bucket and the pitcher, whatever he had in his hand, and he turned and he ran into the house. And he said, Elisha, alas, my master, what are we going to do? We're surrounded. The Syrians are here. They've come to capture us. And isn't it wonderful what Elisha tells to him next there in that verse? He said, there's nothing to be afraid of. There's nothing to be scared of. He says, there's more with us than be with them. Can I remind us this morning, brothers and sisters, there's more with us than be with them. We are on the winning side this morning. Hallelujah. It ought to bless us. It ought to thrill us through and through when we stop and we think about this. Brother Forsey, this is elementary. What are you doing this morning? I'm reminding us of some wonderful elementary things, friends, that so much of the time we forget. We fail to remember some of the things of how God moved mightily in our midst, how He worked time and time again. Elisha looks at his servant who is anxious, who's afraid, who's in fear, and he said, "We're going to be captured. They're going to take us back, and they're going to kill us, and we're going to be executed. What in the world are we going to do?" Failing to remember, friends, what has been happening all along. How the Syrians were coming to get the children of Israel. And Elisha was saying, "Don't go there. The Israelites go here." And sure enough, time and time again, not once, twice, but God had spared the children of Israel time and time again. And we fail to remember what it is that God wants to do in our lives. So much of the time, we fret and we worry and we get anxious over the little things of life. "Oh, Lord, I don't know about this. What's going to take place here? Oh, Lord, this situation. What is going to happen, God?" And we get all worked up and we become afraid because we're failing to see what God is doing. Elisha says there, "Fear not." Can I tell you this morning, we don't need to be afraid. Verse 16, he says, "Fear not, for they that be with us are more than be with them." Can I remind us this morning from the book of Deuteronomy chapter 31 that we are not forsaken. We have no need to be afraid this morning. Moses is talking to Elisha and he says, "Be strong and of good courage. Fear not nor be afraid of them. For the Lord thy God, He it is that doth go with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee." And Moses called to Joshua and said unto him, "In the sight of all Israel, be strong and of good courage. For thou must go with this people unto the land which the Lord hath sworn unto their fathers to give them. And thou shalt cause them to inherit it. And the Lord, He it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee. He will not fail thee, neither forsake thee. Fear not, and neither be dismayed." Do not be terrified. I want to tell us this morning, friends, we should be shouting glory, hallelujah, this morning. Oh, friends, the thought of thinking about that, that our God goes before us. Everything that we do in life, He's walking ahead of us. He's clearing the pathway. He's setting things up, friends. He hasn't forsaken us. He hasn't abandoned us. He hasn't left us all alone to deal with this situation, this trial, this test, this tribulation, without knowing exactly what it is we're going through. Oh, friends, instead of this morning, oh, he's talking about how tough it is and how bad it is and, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. We should be lifting our eyes toward heaven and shouting the praises of God and saying, "Glory, hallelujah. I have nothing to fear this morning because I know my God goes before me." Friends, God cares about every single thing we face in life this morning. So much of the time, all we see is what is right there in front of us. And we fail time and time again to look beyond the current moment, the current situation, to look past it and look to what's behind. What is beyond that? And it's the chariots of God this morning. I'm going to tell you something, friend. He will be with His people. He will not abandon them or forsake them. There's nothing that we need to be terrified of. He says, neither be dismayed. Don't be scared. We know as God's children that He is looking after us. He looked after the widow woman. I think there in the book of Kings it talks about the widow woman when Elijah, a man that was burdened, a man that was broken, a man that looked at Israel and he saw the wickedness, he saw the idolatry, he saw the evil that was taking place. And I want to tell you something this morning. Elijah was a man that was broken and burdened for his people. He didn't pray frivolously, "Oh God, these wicked people, wake them up somehow." The Bible tells us that Elijah prayed earnestly. He prayed fervently. He was broken, friends, for the sin that was taking place around about him. Elijah wasn't looking forward to seeing a famine for 3.5 years. You realize the results of that. In the summertime, I don't know about around here, but up in Michigan and there in Noblesville in the summertime, it'd come July and August, the grass stops growing. It turns brown if you're not watering it. Some of the trees can lose their leaves and begin to fall off. The creek beds dry up. The ponds get low. The rivers drop down. Can you imagine what it must have been like for 3.5 years to have no precipitation? Friends, that was something that would affect any person who had compassion. But yet at the same time, Elijah knew that there was some people that needed God. Here was a nation that had turned their back on him, and they were going their own way, doing their own thing, seeking after their own lustful desires. And Elijah said, oh God, would you somehow, would you break us? Would you, Father, have it awake us? And the Lord withheld rain for 3.5 years. Elijah goes down to the brook, and while he's there at the brook, God feeds him by the ravens. Can I remind us this morning, God takes care of his people. He looks after his people. There's Elisha by the brook. The brook dries up, and the Lord says, Elijah, Elijah, I want you to go to this village. I want you to go to this town. There's a widow woman that's there. I want you to knock on the door because she's going to take care of you. Elijah listens to the Lord. He packs up the few things that he has. He heads off to the town. He arrives there. That's the house. He walks over to the door. He knocks on the door. A lady's in there. She's looking in the barrel. She sees only this amount of food. This grain is what I have left. She looks at her son. She realizes that she has no money to buy anything. And if she did have money to buy anything, there's nothing to buy because there's a famine that's happening in the land. She looks down in the barrel, realizing that this is the last meal. This is what she's getting ready to take out. This is what she's getting ready to bake a cake and put it in the oven and sit down and eat that, her and her son, and then they're going to die. They're going to starve to death. And while she's contemplating all this, while she's looking at it, she hears the knock on the door. She wonders to herself, oh, should I answer it? It's probably somebody wanting something, more taxes or something like that from the king. Who knows what it is? But she raps again, and she says, well, I better go and see who it is. She opens the door, and there stands a man before her, a man of God. And he looks at her, and he says, can I come in? She says, sure. She invites him in. She lets him come in. And he looks at her and he says, I need something to eat. I'm hungry. She probably wonders to herself, isn't that the way some men are? Always thinking about themselves first. She walks to her barrel again and she looks in her barrel. And she says, this is all that I have. This is it. I'm getting ready to bake the last that I have. For myself and my son, and then we're going to sit down and we're going to starve to death. But Elijah looks at her and he says, you bake for me first, and God's going to take care of you. That woman reaches in that barrel, that jar, that container, whatever it is, she goes and she pulls out that grain. She takes it and she bakes and makes a cake. She does all the things that you women do to get it to whatever it's got to be to. She puts it in the oven. It bakes. While it's baking, she's wondering, oh, now what I'm going to do? I just scraped the barrel clean. There's nothing left in there. She pulls the cake out. She walks over and she hands it to Elijah. And she says, here you go. And he says, now go and bake yourself one and one for your son. And she's probably wondering, what in the world's wrong with this man? Didn't he hear anything that I just told him? Didn't he know that I was just getting the last of it? And she walks back over to the barrel, looking back at Elijah, looking at that cake that he's eating, realizing there it all goes. There's nothing left. And she looks in the barrel. Friends, and hallelujah, glory to God, he didn't fail her. In the bottom of that barrel was some more meal. She reaches in there, unbelieving. Oh, wow, where did this come from? I know I scraped it clean. She reaches down, she pulls it out, she pulls out a little bit more, and she goes and she bakes another cake. She feeds herself and her son. Can I tell you, the next morning when she gets up, she goes to that barrel, she looks in, and guess what's in the barrel? Here's some more food. She pulls it out. She bakes another cake. Come lunchtime, she runs back to the barrel. She looks in, and what does she see? She sees some more grain. She pulls it out. She bakes another cake. At supper time, she runs back to the barrel. She looks in, and guess what she sees? More grain. Can I tell you something this morning? God never forsakes or abandons his children. Hallelujah. He will provide. Friend, we have nothing to be afraid of. Friend, that great big thing that's been standing in your way, that heavy load that you've been carrying, trying to bear up, I'm going to tell you this morning, let go of it. Give it to God. Allow Him to take control of it this morning, friend. He will meet your need. We have nothing to be afraid of. We have nothing to be fearful of. Friend, let me tell you something. If God cares about a widow woman and her son, if God cares about a prophet, He cares about you and your need. If His eye is on the sparrow that falls to the ground, how much more does He care about His children who He gave His only begotten Son to die for? He cares about your need this morning. Oh, but Brother Forsey, I don't know. This is a silly thing. I don't know if God really cares about that. The cancer, yes. The lost job, yes. But oh, I don't know, Brother Forsey, finding my glasses, finding my keys, hallelujah. He cares about every single thing that we deal with, friends. He knows exactly what you're dealing with. He knows the feelings, the emotions that you put up with from day to day. I'm telling you this morning, do not be dismayed. Do not be scared. Do not be frightened. For our God reigns this morning. Elisha's telling him, he says, don't be afraid. Friends, we need to trust and obey. Believe when it doesn't make sense to us. Believe on the Lord when He says that He will do. When the storms of life are raging, can I tell you this morning, you don't need to have a spirit of fear. You don't need to be scared about what's going to take place. Oh, friend, we can get on the internet and we can look at the news, and every single time we do, we hear of some terrible event happening, some terrible crisis happening. Oh, we hear the Russians are flying over Alaska. Oh, we hear that China's stacking up gold. We hear that there's a war happening in Syria. We hear there's a war over here in Ukraine. We hear that these people are hoarding oil. These people are losing oil. Oh, the stock market's up. Now it's going to crash. There's going to be a long winter. The gas prices are going up. Can I tell you this morning, God is in control. We don't need to be worrying about it. We don't need to have a spirit of fear, friend. He doesn't give us a spirit of fear. Paul tells us He gives us a spirit of power, friends, when we know Him as our Lord and Savior. What spirit do you have this morning? 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 7 says, for God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Oh, friend, I tell you, I don't know, wonder how people go to sleep sometimes at night. A lot of them don't. That's exactly the reason why the pharmaceutical companies are booming in the stocks, because so many people are having to buy pills to put themselves to sleep at night, because they lay there worrying, anxious, and fear gripping them. Oh, friends, let me tell you something. We can go to bed at night knowing that it doesn't matter what happens over the night hours. Our God is in control, and we don't need to be afraid. We can go to bed at night with a sound mind, with a peaceful mind, and we can say, Lord, I give it all to You. If the world comes to an end in the night, glory, hallelujah, my eyes are going to open up in glory world. They're going to open up beholding the face of Jesus Christ. What spirit do you have this morning? Is it a spirit of fear, a spirit of anxiousness, a spirit of being dismayed? I'm going to tell you, if it is, friend, it's not of God. Rebuke it and be set free from it, and allow God to give you the spirit that He wants you to have, and that is one of power and of love and of a sound mind. Friend, this morning, we see in that verse there where Elisha goes and tells his servant in verse 16, when he comes in and he's afraid and he's scared and he's trembling, what's going to happen? He looked at his servant and he said, don't be afraid. Fear not, because there's more with us than be with them. And then he goes and he says, oh Lord, would You open the eyes of the servant this morning? Would You help him to see, oh God, what it is that I see? Oh friend, and that servant probably looked at his master and wondered, what in the world is he talking about? The fear of the Syrians must have gripped him. The fear of the Syrians have caused him to lose his mind. Open my eyes. I had my eyes open. My eyes do see. Can I tell you this morning, there's so many people that are walking around and their eyes are open and they think they're seeing, but friends, they're blinded. They've got scales over their eyes. They're not seeing what God wants them to see. All they can see is circumstances, situations. All they can see is what they're focused on, the things down here, the things of the world. And God is saying, lift up your eyes and behold what I want to do for you. Friend, that's what Elisha was praying for his servants. Oh God, drive out that spirit of fear. Give him one of power. Give him one, Lord, that is steadfast and strong. Oh Lord, give him one of courage and a sound mind. And friends, let me tell you, when Elisha prayed that prayer, all of a sudden there was something that happened to his servant. All of a sudden, his eyes were open like they've never been opened before. He looked and he couldn't believe it. He was no longer seeing the enemy. He was no longer just seeing the chariots and the horses of Syria surrounding Dothan. But hallelujah, glory to God, he saw the hills alive with chariots of fire. Hallelujah. And I do bless every last one of us this morning when we stop and think about that. That little thing that has got us so confounded. That little thing that has us so bound up in fear. That little thing that we're worrying and fretting and distressing over. Friends, has no power whatsoever. It doesn't compare to what God has for His children and the deliverance that He wants to bring to us this morning. Those hills were alive with chariots of fire. You know what I believe happened? The Bible doesn't say that it didn't, and it doesn't say that it did. But I like to believe, because I have an imagination, I believe that man got excited. I believe all of a sudden he began to skip up and down the streets of Dothan, and he began to tell people, you know what God is doing? He's got a chariot of fire back there. He was thrilled. He was excited. He was saying, we're not defeated, Gabe. Hallelujah. God's going to bring deliverance. He's got them surrounded. Oh, friend, if we would start believing God like that, if we would start trusting Him and believing Him and say, you know what? My God is alive. My God is in control. My God lives. My God reigns. Friend, the enemy would be defeated a lot more. Oh, Lord, roll back the scales off of our eyes. Open our eyes that we may see what it is that you're longing for us to see. Friends, we're missing so much of the time, because we're like Saul on the road to Damascus. We're traveling along and we're focused and we're intent on bringing destruction. Oh, but God, smite us with a light from heaven and send us to a street called Straight. And there may a man pray for us and say, Lord, roll back the scales from their eyes. Let them see what it is He wants to do for you in your life. Oh, friends, I look across this congregation this morning. I've listened and I've watched you all week long. And I've been saying, thank you, God, for a people that loves you. But at the same time, I've been looking at these beautiful young ladies and handsome young men. And I've been saying, Lord, what plan do you have for them? Oh, God, what plan is it you have for them? Can I tell you this morning, God has a plan for every last one of you. God has a plan for you, young lady. I don't know your name, but God's got a plan for you. God's got a plan for you there, young man. He wants to do something great and mighty in your life. And for every last one of you, God's got a plan. But oh, friends, we need to allow Him to take those scales off of our eyes and say, Lord, I'm yours, and do it. Can I tell you this morning, friend, I've told you, I don't know if I told you or not, I never in my wildest dreams ever dreamed that I would be preaching. When I was in school, Sister Franklin, we had to write stories. I could never write a story. Well, I could write a story, but I couldn't get up in front of the class and read it. That morning, I knew that day when I got to school that I had to do my story. And I was like, there's no way. There's no way I'm getting up there in front of that class and doing my story. And I would do everything in my power to convince my mom that I was sick. I'd lay her in bed. John, get up. Oh. John, get up. Oh. What's the matter with you? I'm sick. Oh, Mom, I don't feel good. My stomach hurts. I got a headache. Feel me, Mom. You don't have a temperature. Get up. You're going to school. Mom, seriously, my stomach really, really hurts. You have a test today? Nope. Don't have a test today, Mom. Okay, well, get up. You're going to school. She wasn't one that easily swallowed things. And yet, at the same time, you wonder, how in the world did I deceive her in wrestling? She may have known more than what I thought too. I'd go to school. I'd get there. And I'd sit in the class. I'd think to myself, how in the world can I get out of here for a while? I'd go and raise my hand and teach Miss Bowman, yes, John, I need to go see the nurse. I'm not feeling well. Okay, go ahead. I'd get up. I'd go up to the nurse. She'd put that thermometer in my mouth. She'd feel my head. Well, what is the matter? She'd ask me some personal questions about my stomach issue. And I'd say, no, I haven't yet. She'd say, okay. If I'm causing you heart headaches, I'm sorry. I'm just me. So you know what she'd go and do? She'd let me lay there for a while. She'd send me back to class. You've been here long enough. I think you're going to be okay. Give me a little bit of 7-Up. That should take care of your stomach problem. No, I didn't take care of my stomach problem. I'd go back to class. I was hoping and praying the whole way. Oh, dear Lord, please let Miss Bowman be all done with the stories. I'd walk in. We'd be on math. Oh, thank you, Jesus. I get to sit down in my seat. And then Miss Bowman said, oh, John, you need to come and do your story. No, I'll take a 0. I'll take a nap. I couldn't. I'd get up there. I'd be tongue-tied. I couldn't talk. My hands literally be dripping sweat, and I was so nervous. I'd be freezing and sweating at the same time, kind of like what I'm doing right now while I preach. But you know, there came a day when the Lord saved me, and He sanctified me, and He began to speak to me, and He began to deal with me. And He began saying, John, I want you to preach. Oh, no, Lord. No, seriously. Lord, I'll do everything, anything you want. I cannot. Lord God, I can't preach. And you're saying, you still can. Amen. I agree with you. But it's like, Lord, no. And He began to continue to deal with me. I want you to preach. I want you to preach. I said, well, Lord, I do thank you for what you sanctify me, Lord. I did say I'd do everything you asked. But Lord, if you want me to preach, you've got to have 2 churches call me and ask me to preach. Can I tell you, within like 3 weeks, something like that, 2 churches called me. Hey, can you come fill in? Oh, but Lord, they're neighbor churches, and they probably know that my pastor lets me speak sometimes at churches. Lord, that's different, Lord. It has to be 2 churches that have no connection to us and nothing to do. Can I tell you, within a month, 3 churches have called me. I stay here today because I answered God's call. Not because of my ability, not because of my talent, not because of my education, because it was a terrible GP, whatever them things are, grade things, GPA. Yes. But I stand here today because only because of God. Can I tell you something, young people? Pray and say, Lord, take the scales off my eyes and show me what it is that you want me to do with my life. Can I say to you middle-aged couples and you older couples, you think, okay, it's time to hang it up. It's not time to hang it up, friends. We don't hang it up until God calls us home to be with Him. Pray and say, Lord, remove the scales from my eyes that I may see what it is that you want me to do and how you can use me for your honor and your glory. Friends, there's a world out there that's dying and going to hell. There's a world out there that doesn't know Jesus Christ. And we're allowing Satan, we're allowing the enemy to go and distract us by the little army of Syria. And we're failing to look beyond and past and see what God is doing. Oh, my prayer this morning for this congregation, for you young people, is this. These children, oh God, keep them. Oh God, protect them. God, put a hedge around about them. The enemy cannot be able to reach through and hurt them. But oh God, use them for your honor and your glory. Use them mightily for the furtherance of your kingdom. My prayer for your wonderful pastor and his family is that, oh, that God would pour out His Spirit upon him like He's never poured out on him before. That, oh, that God would use them, friends, in a great and mighty way. And my prayer for every last one of you is that God would continue to use you too, along with Him, to reach this community, to reach this county, to reach this state. And nothing would thrill me more than to have reports come back to Noblesville of hearing how God is moving and speaking and dealing in Martin County, because the people of Shoals, God is using in a great and mighty way to reach the lost. Oh, friends, the Bible tells us time and time again how that when God came in the book of Acts, the city was shaken. The people, it was turned upside down. May God in heaven do that more often, friends. But for that to happen, we've got to allow the scales that have been ever formed on our eyes for all of these years to be removed. We have to get to the place where we say, Lord, we want You first and foremost. And Lord, we don't care what anyone else thinks. We don't care what anyone else says. Lord, all that matters is what You think. Lord, I'm not going to fear their faces. I'm not going to be scared, Lord, because I know You've called me. I know You have sent me. I know that You have laid this burden on my heart. And I don't fear man that can only kill me. I fear You, Lord. I reverence You. I stand in awe of You, Lord, of what You've done for me in my heart and my life. And God, I want to be a vessel in Your hands to be used of You to reach the lost. Lord, I want to be a vessel in Your hands. Oh God, to point men and women, boys and girls towards You, that some soul may be saved and snatched from the fire. Oh Lord, my desire is not to have fancy home and multiple lands and rich cars, fancy cars. Oh God, my goal and my aim is to be a servant that's pleasing in Your eyes. One that can stand before You and say, welcome home, Thou good and faithful servant. Oh, friends, it's my cry this morning for you and for myself that God would do it for lost souls, that all that the scales that are on their eyes, those that are out in sin and they're stumbling. Oh, they don't think they're stumbling, but they're stumbling through the darkness of night. They're searching, they're looking, they're desiring something. Oh, that the scales would be lifted, their eyes would be open, and they would see their need of Jesus Christ, and they would repent and turn to God before it's eternally too late. Oh, friend, may God in heaven help us this morning. Open our eyes that we may see. Elisha prayed and said, Lord, I pray Thee, open his eyes that he may see. Oh, that God would illuminate us. Oh, that God would open our eyes and see that we would see the things that He's longing to do for us. The psalmist said in the 119th Psalm, verse 18, open Thou mine eyes that I may behold wondrous things out of Thy law. What is it you're asking God to do? What is it that you're searching for? What is it you want God to do and say to you? And the mountains were full of chariots of fire. The man's eyes were open and he saw that God was working and moving, and God was protecting His people. He was protecting His man. Last Sunday at our church there in Noblesville, I preached out of 2 Chronicles chapter 20, where Jehoshaphat, as all of a sudden someone comes to him and says that all these nations have risen up against you. And Jehoshaphat gathers the people and he prays to God. And he reminds the Lord there in chapter 20, he says, we have no might, we have no strength, we do not know what to do, we don't have knowledge of which way to go, which way to turn, do we send the armies out, do we keep them in the city? He said, but oh Lord, our eyes are upon You. Can I ask you this morning, friend, where are your eyes this morning? What is it you're beholding? What is it you've locked your sight upon this morning? That very next verse, it says, and the people waited before the Lord. They stood in His presence. Oh, that God would remind us that we'd not be in such a hurry to run out and try to take matters into our own hands. Jehoshaphat said, we don't have the strength in our own might or the ability. We don't have the knowledge. We don't know exactly what to do, but God, our eyes are upon you, and we're going to remain here. We're going to wait here until we get an answer from heaven. And then it says, and the Spirit of the Lord moved on one of them in the midst. And he said, thus saith the Lord, the battle's not yours, but it belongs to God. Tomorrow morning, you get up and you go out there and you march down and you set yourselves in array and you get ready to fight. But hallelujah, glory to God. You're not going to have to pour out your sword except for one item, and that is to cut the gold and the silver and the jewels off of their dead bodies, because the Lord's going to go ahead before you and he's going to fight. And you know what happened? The next morning, they arose. They got up like they said. And Jehoshaphat said, I want this group right here. I want you to be the praisers. And I want this group over here. I want you to be the singers. And we're going to go marching down there. And we're going to set the battle in array. And you people are going to say, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. And you people are going to say, hallelujah. Amen. We're marching to Zion, singing the praises of God. And away the children of Judah went. They marched down there praising and singing and glorifying God, because the Lord had said, I'm going to fight the battle for you. And they set the battle array and they looked, and what did they see? They saw their enemies dead, because the Spirit of the Lord had moved upon them and turned them against each other, and they began to slay each other. And the children of Israel went down, and the spoil was so much that they couldn't just gather it up in one road and run back home to their village and put it down and run back down the next day, next time, and grab another one. No, friend, it took them 3 days to gather the spoil. Oh, that God in heaven would open our eyes and realize how much blessings he has for us if we'll simply trust him and obey. Oh, Father in heaven, I pray this morning that our eyes would be opened. We'd realize the riches, the blessing that God has for his people if we'll simply trust him and obey. If we'll listen. Oh, believe, friends, this morning, believe. God's got so much he wants to do for us. Oh, Lord, help us, I pray this morning. If you're here this morning, I don't know who visitors are and who regular attendees are. I don't know. But if you're here this morning and you're wondering, what in the world is the matter with that man up there? What in the world is he talking about? Brandon, what I'm talking about is having a relationship with Jesus Christ. Oh, to know his forgiveness. To know his power. Having a relationship with him. Experiencing his holiness. Experiencing a life transformation, friend. Oh, a way of thinking has been changed. You no longer desire. You no longer strive. You no longer work for that same thing you've been desiring. Oh, friend, now your honor, your aim, and the thing that you want to do is honor him. You want to please him. You want to glorify him. You want to say, Lord, whatever you want to do is what I want to do. Oh, friend, to experience the relationship with him. If you're here this morning, you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Your eyes are blinded by the scales of sin and of this world. You can know Christ. You can experience what we're talking about. It no longer will be a foreign language to you. You can know that your sins are forgiven and you're his child. Maybe you're here this morning and you've been professing for a very, very long time. Maybe you're here this morning and you know exactly how to talk. You know exactly when to raise your hand in the song. You know exactly what to say when you're around Brother Ziegler. You know exactly how to dress. But you know that deep down inside there's something that's not right. Deep down inside, you don't have that peace, that joy, that confidence. You know that everything's not quite right. You go to bed at night, you try to convince yourself that everything's okay. You go to bed and your prayer is, oh, I hope God doesn't come tonight. Friend, this morning you can have the confidence and assurance of knowing that if Christ comes at night, that your eyes will open in the presence of your Savior. And you'll spend eternity with Him. You don't have no longer to go to bed at night worrying whether or not I'm going to wake up in the morning. You can lay your head on your pillow at night with a definite assurance that no matter what takes place in the night, you will wake up in the morning. But it'll be the eternal morning and the presence of Jesus Christ forever. Oh, friend, may God in heaven remove the scales from our eyes. May we say, Lord, reveal yourself to me. Help me to see what it is that you want me to see. Take our eyes off of the world and say as Jehoshaphat, Lord, we don't know what tomorrow holds, but we know who holds tomorrow. Lord, our eyes are on you and we're waiting. We're going to remain here until you answer. I want to tell you, if you pray it honestly and sincerely this morning, I guarantee you, He will answer. He will say, I have victory. I have deliverance. I've got something that you never dreamed or imagined for you. If you'll trust me, if you'll obey me, if you'll walk in the light, as I put it on your pathway, may God in heaven open our eyes that we may see.